Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of For the Record. This is season two, our season finale, and today we're taking a whole different turn of events, and we're going to really pull the curtain back and look under the hood of Aesthetic Record and Aesthetic Next and all the things that we do here for production. So I'm joined by my colleague, maybe my number three man in my life, to be honest.
I'll take it.
My ride or die. We have JT Cothran here with us today, who is the Director of Media Productions here at Aesthetic Next and Aesthetic Record. He is the brains behind the camera.
I got some brains.
The only reason why I'm not a total shit show all the time, well, I am kind of still a shit show, but we're going to go through today our process here, how we started with productions, really the whole thing about, you know, if you're a person at home doing this in your own clinic, what do you need to get started? If you want to go bigger scale, what does that look like? We're going to give you some cheap methods. We're going to give you some cool tools and tricks that people are using in the industry that we're using as well, that I'm doing when I can't have JT, you know, close by, and really hopefully close the loop on all things production. So JT, yeah. Welcome to our show that you film for us every week.
Thank you. It's interesting being on like this side of things. Most people don't see what I see, but I don't get to usually see what they see. So here I am getting to take it in.
I know. I make it look so easy. So
you do. You do. Yeah. Just even to that, like about like, you know, what I kind of provide, like, I don't know. It's across the spectrum. I deal with people who don't know what they're doing, and I do deal with people like yourself that do know what they're doing. And they just need to, I don't know, be directed. That's why I guess I'm the director. It's funny how that name came out.
How that came about. But yeah, I think, you know, we're going to kind of dive into, first of all, your background. Because when I hired JT, it wasn't to do this job at all. And we knew early on with Aesthetic Record, when I came on board, that content is king. I think we all know that. People who are listening, obviously, you're trying to, you know, consume content now. That video is certainly the way of the future. It's certainly the way right now, whether that's YouTube, Instagram, it's obviously Reels are a huge thing.
Yep.
We're all filming content 24/7. And, you know, we want to say that just getting it out there is a good idea, but it can also be problematic for you if you put out not so good content or bad content.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we worked on, you know, in the very beginning, how do you make this thing better, more efficient, more effective? And so we started small. And yep. And now we're here. We started from the bottom. Now we're here. Oh, yeah. So take us through a little bit of your background and how you even knew what to do when you showed up here.
That's a long story, but I'll try to make it quick. Grew up with my old man. My mom, you know, would send me off with him every day. At the time, he owned several businesses, but the one focusing on here is a business that he had called Musicians.net, which did actually live internet streaming before your Twitches and all of those platforms and stuff. But no, that was actually my job was to go with him, lend a hand when I could. But other than that, like it was here, hold this microphone and go stand on my stage that I just built so I can test my system. So like I got to see a lot of that at a very young age to the point where it kind of was ingrained fundamentally. A little bit of background on his business. Like I said, we did live streaming, live concerts, everything. My old man owned everything from the stage that the talent would be on to the PA that they were talking through to the system that sent it to the world. So like I said, a lot of those fundamentals, you know, at the age of 4, 5, 6, 8, you know, I really got those. I knew what an XLR cable was at 5 years old. Most people today don't know what those are, and they've been maybe in the business for a long time. But no, it started there. You know, and then obviously, you know, teenage years happen. All through high school, I had my own studio in my bedroom, which we'll touch on that in a second. But, you know, eventually, you know, grew so big that I had to kind of get it out of the house. Which takes me into kind of like, you know, the college era. Went to school at Dallas Baptist University. I have a degree in music business. I've all throughout college spent countless hours in studios, either on campus or my own. And then got into like the live venue area, did well over 1,000 concerts and live productions there at a place over here in Dallas called the Kessler Theater. And then from there, I really kind of wanted to get out of, working for myself. I'd even working with my old man, I was technically my own boss as a contractor, and I wanted to go work for people such as yourself, in the corporate world, but still wanted to have, I don't know, I call it kind of like a pirate feel, a govern myself kind of thing. Stumbled upon your ad, and the rest is ancient history. You know, I mean, you really kind of gave me a shot, and I, obviously it's something completely different, which morphed into this. And I believe it was, I know I could speak for myself, it was worth it for me. I'm sure it was worth it for you as well.
Yeah, I think we both came into it knowing not very little. That's not the right word, but you had a background more in the audio music side, and video is a kind of a different area. But you came knowing about photography, and you already had cameras and things. But I think we started this from a place of, we have, as you guys might know, if you're an AR learning lab, we do a lot of videos for, you know, training and production on that side of it, how to use a system, which are not very sexy, not very cool.
Not supposed to be.
And I think our goal was to kind of elevate that. So I want to go back to like when we first started this, because I feel like people who are listening may have a couple of things in their toolbox that we had and not really know they even have the things in their toolbox.
Definitely.
Because I can remember us using in some instances for our second and third camera angle, we'd use your iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
Because the iPhone was so great. So, you know, thinking back to the very beginning, where did we start? I can't even remember. Like, what kind of things do we need in our kit from day one, besides like a ring light, which, by the way, get a ring light, but besides a ring light.
I mean, you know, things like a ring light, your phone, go-tos. I mean, most people don't realize the power that just that can do. The very next thing I would say is actually focus more on the environment from there. Because, you know, with the right environment, appropriate lighting, and a good camera, which, you know, your ring light and your phone, those are checks one and two. Check three, I would say your environment, because that makes a huge difference in your audio. I mean, you know, most people don't realize, they think, oh, it's this microphone. No, it's this microphone, the surroundings, the audio structure, the channel structure, you know, just everything, you know, really kind of goes into it. But staying on topic, the environment really kind of dictates all of that. Sticking to this, that small list, you know, the bare bones, if you would, you know, ring light, Amazon, that's $30. Your iPhone, you already have, even if it's a competitor of an iPhone, it's still a great camera. And then the right environment, and right there, you really can make, you know, more movie magic than anybody will probably ever give it credit. We could maybe harp into some of my, like, you know, heroes and idols. I guess for lack of a better word, you know, later on, but some of them, you know, even do just that. There's one guy that I've kind of followed lately who's shot everything on an iPhone lately, and he does $1 million music videos. So like there again, there's a lot of power there. Then a lot of the, I would say the rest of that fuel comes from in here. You know, you got to, and for those who are just listening, pointing at my head, but, you know, a lot of that comes from just the willpower and trying to figure out a way to make it work. You know what I'm saying? It's I don't know, you can build what you want in your mind in media. It just takes that willpower. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there's, I don't even know if you've seen this, but I bought this cool thing the other day. It is a lavalier that is for your iPhone. So you have a little receiver that you hook into your iPhone with a little jack on it. Mm-hmm. Clip it on your shirt. I think it cost me $30 on like a Kickstarter or something.
We had one of those.
It's incredible. And so I think if you're doing a lot of Instagram lives, for instance, and you're going to do an Instagram live off your phone or off of your iPad, get that. It's like a little lightning cable that you can boost in there. And I think the ring light, you know, you can put your phone in the ring light now or even have it shining on you. But you mentioned environment. Now I want to talk about this because the podcast we film every week, we have guests who don't know much about production. They kind of show up on our Skype feed and do it. Mm-hmm. We have, if you guys, you probably can't see this because you're not watching, even if you are, but we have a carpeted floor here. Yep. We're in a warehouse. We have a carpeted floor. On the back of our wall, we have basically like sticky textured wall. So it looks really cool on camera. It's not the whole wall. It's like just a part that we're filming on. Yeah. We have an uplight, like a little blue uplight. So it just gives us, we can change the color for different videos and things. Mm-hmm. And then we have blankets everywhere. So one of the things, if you've seen moving blankets, if you've ever moved your house, moving blankets
for sound insulation,
are
for sure.
Great for sound insulation. Oh, so, you know, the practices that are beautiful with marble floors, like we love your marble floors, but the sound is awful in those things. It echoes like terribly. So you've got to blanket that sound. Put blankets down. Get like a cheap piece of carpet. Go to the local carpet store and get like an old used piece of carpet and put it down. Something to absorb the sound. Because I think I agree with you. If you have an iPhone, you have a light, you have a decent set around you, you can absorb all the sound. You're good to go.
Oh yeah, definitely. And just just finishing up on the environment, just like what you kind of touched on, most clinics, because we're in the aesthetic industry, they look better than they sound, and rightfully so. Just like that, you know, most clinics have tile floor. Tile floor is terrible for recording. I try to look at sound very much like lighting. Wherever I shine that light is going to get lit up. if I turn that light completely 180 and point it away from the subject that I want it to light up, it's not going to do anything. It's the same thing with sound. Anybody hears that. If I put my hand in front of this microphone, you don't hear it as well. It's the same thing with the light or sound. I mean, sound is very physical. It is a physics, and that's something, you know, I guess I did learn very early on is much like if you, any object in motion will stay in motion until, you know, an equal or greater force. It's exactly that. Proper environment dictates what kind of equipment that you need, you know, moving forward. You can have a great sounding room, which some clinics do just coincidentally have a great sounding room. Maybe it doesn't look the best, but great sounding room, and you don't need a loft. I would definitely recommend, as you said, getting some kind of an attachable microphone, and a handheld does count as that. But, you know, something that if you are caught in an area that has terrible audio, you're able to improvise. Yep. Even with that, you know, one of those lavalier mics, you could still use that as a handheld and go back and forth with the guest. It looks tacky, but it sounds great.
But then, on TikTok, everyone has a little mic on TikTok. It makes me crazy. But I think also to your point, I'm going to jump in and say, I used a Blue Yeti for years at home.
Oh, yeah.
A standing Blue Yeti. Yep. And then I have now the one that hangs over like my computer, like a podcast mic. We're using here today SMB7s from Shure, which are incredible microphones.
Yep, 7Bs. Yeah. These would be hyper dynamic.
What is it called?
SM7B.
SM7B. Sorry, guys. Yep. But, you know, look up Shure, you'll find it.
Yep.
But I think having a good microphone is, you know, if I had to pick between having a brand new camera and a great microphone, I'd use an iPad, an iPhone, and a great microphone any day of the week.
Oh, yes.
Because audio, people will watch a video if they can hear you. They won't watch a video that's amazing quality if they can't hear what you're saying.
Took the words
like you right
gotta
out of my pick, mouth. If you have to pick your poison, audio is always a better choice and have amazing audio.
Yeah, no, that was just about to say exactly that. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter how good something looks, if it sounds like crap, nobody wants to listen. Hell, if it doesn't have audio at all. Yeah. What is there? I'm watching two people, you know, do like the old Charlie Chapman. Yeah. You know, it does. Audio definitely makes a difference. I think that's why, like, I do believe some people technically would hate me for this, but I think that if you could capture just the fundamental concepts of audio, it transcribes over into video, you know, very well, or anything, you know, as far as digital content creation goes. I mean, it's, I don't know, to me, not to overuse the word, it's a very fundamental skill set to acquire, is just what, you know, how do I make something sound good versus, you know, how do I just throw a microphone in front of something or hope for the best or whatever. But no, just for like even our set and stuff like this, I mean, you know, you don't need, you know, a very extravagant room. Even though your beautiful clinic has tile floors, it doesn't mean you can't use it. You just got to know what to do. You know, anything that has highly reflective surfaces, you want to keep your gain structures down, gain structure volume for lack of better words, I guess, or the professional words. You know, you want to keep your volume structure down, you know, in those kinds of rooms. Those are things that you do learn trial and error. You know, you do that Instagram live and you go back and listen to it and you're like, crap, it looked great, but maybe next time turn my mic down, or vice versa. It sounded great. Maybe next time try a different camera angle, turn my ring light up. So, I mean, you can still figure these things out. It's not some unbeknown science, as I usually tell some of the people we work with. Like, you figured out facial anatomy. You could figure out a microphone and an iPhone. You know, it's not as hard as some people want to make it seem like.
Well, I think, too, from the background perspective, even here, we move backgrounds in and out all the time. So we have, you know, like a you know, 10 or 20 foot rail. We have backdrops that we bought from Amazon. You can get them. I think I bought some for even $10. I did like a grab bag kit of like five.
Yeah.
We've got one that's a library. We have bricks. We have, and certainly you'll find out different things don't look as good, or if they're not ironed and pressed, get a steamer. So in your practice, if you're going to use backdrops, get a $15 steamer from Walmart. You'll need it because you will get wrinkles in there. Yeah. You'll have a line across, looks terrible. You don't want that. Mm-hmm. So certainly get that. I think the other part of that too is, if you're in a clinic and you're using a backdrop, all these things are looking great, you have to have great Wi-Fi. So we have this problem a lot here where if you're able to be on a computer and go into Ethernet and like actually be hardlined into something, if you're doing like a broadcast of some sort, we have people who have beautiful video, beautiful audio, but it's so granularly pixelated because we can't see them because their Wi-Fi is so bad. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a busy clinic where everyone is charting on an iPad, you're sending things through like to set a record, your phones are all connected to it. The way that, you know, upload download speed works is it divides it out by the amount of devices connected. So if you have 15 devices connected and you have a 500 upload download speed, it's still not very good because they're all getting a fraction of that. So we always say use your Ethernet if you can. It's your best shot to have great video quality.
And all of that, I think, is things that are determined in a a pre-production meeting. Yeah. Most people, even especially working in-house, sometimes even we blow past a pre-production meeting. Not that it's mandatory, but that's where that term and situation is used. Is, I mean, even if it's just you by yourself with just your ring light and your iPhone and you're about to go on IGTV, you're having a mental pre-production meeting. You're thinking about like, okay, how is this going to look? You know, what view do I want to give? I think that you can save so much time in the actual production process by doing a simple like quiet time where I'm just, and I don't mean like something extravagant. You don't need to take 5 minutes for this. There's no minimum, you know, standard or anything, but like just taking a moment to say, I mean, you've seen me do it. Is everything plugged in?
Is it all plugged in?
Is it plugged in? Is it turned on? Is it looking good? Taking those extra few times saves so much on the back end of, you know, if you're doing any kind of post-production or just even if it's straight from shoot to live. Like, I mean, you know, fresh off the camera to your consumer, still having that, you don't get halfway through a production, halfway through your IGTV and realize, oh crap, I didn't turn, you know, that car alarm's been going off for the past 20 minutes, whatever. You know, my point is just there again, taking those few extra seconds and thinking like, all right, is this the most logistical way that I know how to do this right now? And also, there again, touching on that real quick, don't look too far down the road. You know what I'm saying? Get the equipment that you need to do what you got to do right now, and see, make sure that can be implemented before you worry about like, oh, am I going to be able to use this $50 ring light? You know, later on in life, no offense, guys, but it's a $50 ring light, y'all. That's something that's easily expensed in this industry. You know what I'm saying? Especially a ring light, because you should already have some of this equipment to be doing some of like your B&As, which we're, you know, huge proponents of here at AR. So my point is there again, you could be doing a lot of, you could get started on all this media with what you have. Just do a little bit of pre-production. Look, think about what you're trying to accomplish and then do some trial and error and figure it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna go through from a content perspective, because that's kind of where I jump into this. Is I usually do a lot of the content creation part of like what we're gonna say. I think as you look through your videos, and I see a lot on Instagram lately, and even on people's websites, beautiful video that has no purpose.
Yeah,
it looks gorgeous. Blind content. It sounds incredible, but I have no idea what I'm watching it for. Mm-hmm. So just think about your content too. Even if you're, you know, doing an amateur version at your house, you know, or at your clinic. Yeah, I think there's kind of some key parts, like it's like a story that you tell when you're a little kid. Introduction paragraph, body of the story, and closing paragraph. You know, I think you have to have a video that speaks to, what am I going to tell you? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then what did I tell you? You know, it's like a wrap-up. And so I think as you look at your content, if you have a one-minute video on Instagram, that's not a lot of time to get through content. Mm-hmm. I talk really fast. I can do a lot in 1 minute, as you well know. We have to slow me down a lot, but really think through what is the call to action and what is the thing you want to communicate most. And I am a big proponent, as JT knows, of a teleprompter. I can remember things, you know, really well. I can talk off the cuff. I do it all the time without any prompting. But if you're going to want to communicate in a very concise manner on script, get a teleprompter. And now they have these incredible versions on an iPad that you can buy. I see these ads on Instagram every single day. We use one that's actually hooked to our camera. So as I look through the camera, I'm reading it. You don't see me reading it because I'm looking in the camera.
Yeah.
That's obviously the best one because your eyes are lined up with the camera. But the ones with the iPad now, you can do the iPad and it is the camera. So you can have the iPad camera on and it's also still scrolling your teleprompter.
Oh, yeah.
So get one of those, especially if you're going to do training that you want to really go through objectives of some, you know, some sort, or really challenging anatomy words you want to say. I just did one this week with anatomy words that were crazy, like anastomoses and bifurcating and things that you don't say normally. Put that on a teleprompter, but get one of those. I think it's a great investment too.
It helps you very much with the confidence factor too.
Definitely.
It can definitely bring down that barrier of, I mean, we've seen it across this industry. Great speakers. Like, you put them on a live stage, a podium of some sort, not a care in the world. You take them into the back room with just me, a camera, sounds weird, but, and put them on a stool and tell them to talk to you, and they freeze up. So, I mean, it really can knock down some of those, like, the jitters, you know, like the uncomfortableness. Because at the end of the day, with that situation, you're just reading. You know what I'm saying? Now, I will say, you know, there is, for the people that are trying to stick towards, you know, the low budget end of production, which, by the way, with production, there should always be a budget.
Yes.
We probably should have touched on that earlier. Those are, and that's before your pre-production meeting. You, the two first things you got to figure out is, what is your budget and what is your time limit? Because that dictates
everything.
Everything. You could have the biggest budget in the world. If you got no time, you got nothing. You can have all the time in the world. If you got $5, you got nothing. So, like, you know, they're going to figure out. But they're again, these are pre-production. This, all of these kind of things that we've touched on so far are what you should be just lightly thinking about. Like, you don't need to dwell on these things, but you should be thinking about these before you sit down to do your, you know, your IG post, your IG TV, even internal videos if you're going to do training. We've worked with some people that just, you know, they just turn equipment on and just go for it. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, they realize, even though I had all the right stuff or did what I was told and knew how to work it, it didn't turn out like how I wanted it. So pre-production.
Oh, I have a cheat method for you guys. If you are a mother at home, this is the best way to learn to read a teleprompter, to sound like a human and not a robot. Because we have people who work for AR. We make them, when they first come on board, learn to be on camera. It's a rite of passage. We make them do some videos for us, the quick fires, usually what we have them do. And they read, like, and today we're going to talk about the POS. If you are a mother or a father, get your kids in bed at night and read a story to them with voices and fun. My little boy loves it. We're like a theater in our house when we do storytelling, because you will learn to use inflection, to pause appropriately, to think about using your hands and commas and acting out the story. Because if you watch the news, they're reading, but they're reading with like a natural cadence of like, and today this building burned down.
Yeah, everybody says it. It's so stale. Even though you look great, it's so stale.
You need to have like excitement in your voice when you're on a teleprompter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So maybe where you don't want to write every single word down, more of like just the high points. Our CEO, Justin, he likes to do just bullets, which I'm like, I can't do that. I want to actually read oftentimes. But I think the teleprompter is very helpful. The other thing I would say, we have a few cheat things we're going to give you today too. Some systems that you can use that I use personally when JT's not around. But last thing I'll say about pre-production is think about what you're going to wear.
Yes.
And this gets forgotten a lot. Like right now, I'm wearing like a workout outfit. I'm wearing a top with a built-in shelf bronze.
We did bad pre-production.
And JT's in a t-shirt. But
that matches my background too.
It's kind of on purpose of like, we have this beautiful video. We have this great audio and we look scraggly, but hair and makeup, if you're a female, you guys probably will notice I always have my eyebrows really penciled in and I always have lashes on. Mm-hmm. Your makeup should be Tammy Faye Wynette, you know, like the over the top hair and makeup for females, because on camera you get lost in the scale of it. And if you don't have eyebrows, you look like a corpse.
Yes.
Like the one thing I would say to anyone is have eyebrows. Men, women alike, have eyebrows.
And especially before you ever talk about upgrading any cameras, because the better the camera, the more detail it's going to show.
The more scary you're going to be.
Yeah.
And there's this thing.
Scary, could be.
Yeah, it could be. There's this thing called color grading, which there's a lot of really intense programs around this. But even with the filter. So if you are using your iPhone or your iPad, you could still use a filter to color grade sort of an automated, you know, an AI version of it.
Oh, yeah.
To look more tanned. Take out the shine. Mm-hmm. I think now Facetune even has like Facetune video. So there's some things that don't forget when you start doing Facetune video things and over editing, you can look a little scary and dysmorphic in a sense. So be cautious with that. But I think that part of it is as you get a better camera, your pores and your everything becomes far more. It's like an 8K. It's like Hollywood studio.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good way to even segment into the equipment that you already have on hand that we're already talking about, things that you should have around your clinic. You know, ring light, your iPhone. Nowadays, your iPhone can, there's settings on your iPhone that can up the video quality. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean necessarily resolution. I'm talking about more on the back end, the codec that's written. Anytime that anything technologically is written down, it's written in codecs. And there's a thing, it's called ProRes to your color grade thing. You never want to color grade anything in MP4. I'm telling you right now, you will not get what you're expecting. Okay. So if you're going to do anything where you want to touch up colors, now granted, your Instagram filters and stuff like that, that's excluded from this for sure. But anytime that you're pulling it even into Premiere Pro Rush, which is just the phone application that you can quickly edit things. I think Final Cut has something like that, or iMovie on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Similar things. You want to use a higher end codec. Your iPhone can do that. All of the new iPhone 13s come with a toggle button that you could turn on that says, you know, record in ProRes. It's a much bigger video file, but using it on the back end, especially if you've got to resort to your phone to get a very important clip, record it in ProRes if you can remember, because it will save you a world of trouble on the back end as far as actual editing, especially if you got to send it to a guy like me. Just to wrap up real quick with the stuff you have on hand,
well,
your phone does ProRes.
I've got one that's I'm going to blow your mind, JT, when you said don't edit an MP4 because this is going to be dicey. Hey. So each week, if you guys have paid attention to the marketing, each week I put out on Thursdays and Fridays, like a subtitled video that goes through, you know, our guests, whatever they're going to say on camera. Mm-hmm. I use a system called Veed, V-E-E-D. It's like Victor, V-E-D.io. Go right now and get that, like immediately just stop what you're doing and go get it. With Veed, I can actually edit video. I can edit color. I can do like different contrast, saturation, and different things. It's extraordinarily AI driven, so it's very, very smart. Oh, yeah. Now, it'll never replace like having a real editor. Don't get me wrong. It's not, but it's going to be better than having nothing.
Yes.
It does all the subtitling for you. You can change the styles. You can do all kinds of fun things. It also does logos. You can move logos in and out. You can put stickers in and out. I can have graphics coming flying in on screen. Like if I want to talk about a particular function, I can have that picture on screen. So Veed lets you sort of jump the shark and say, I can't afford a professional editor. I can't afford a professional studio quality video, but I can make it look that way. So if you're going to fake it till you make it, Veed.io, I think it's like $20 a month, is a phenomenal life-saving. I mean, there's videos that I've actually done the editing myself on because you weren't around and I could do it in Veed. So again, not the same quality, but it's a damn good start.
Well, and just like that, I don't like to look at it as faking it till you make it. I like to look at it as build it till you can buy it. Yeah. And all of this, I think, plays into that really well because there again, what we're talking about is making quality with restrictions in budgets and abilities and stuff like that. My rule with not editing in MP4 is that's more of like a personal guideline, not to use that cheeky phrase where it's like more like a guideline than a rule. Where there's a will, there's a way. You, if you need that shot and you really want it bad enough, you'll get it, you know, on both your capturing and your editing size. So there again, I don't, like I said, it's more of a guideline. You don't have to edit in ProRes. It's necessarily how I meant that because just as you put it, sometimes you don't even know how to get it into ProRes, even if it's an MP4. Like there is,
I don't know how to get in ProRes. I have no idea.
And see, there's programs out there, especially in like the Adobe suite, that'll recode it into a larger file, a ProRes file. But there again, it like I said, it's that's not going to make or break you. That's not something you got to get hung up on, as you just pointed out. If you film something on your phone, which it naturally does MP4, you could easily pull it into a program like Veed or Canva or anything else and go to town editing. It's a preference thing more than, I guess, even a guideline.
Yeah. So if you're able, let's say that you do know how to do ProRes let's say you have a great DSLR camera in your practice. Mm-hmm. And many of you for BNAs may be using a DSLR. Oh, yeah. Certainly with the Aesthetic Record, we have the iPad desk camera. It does photos, which is, again, as good as any camera right now in the market. But if you are using a DSLR camera and you wanted to have really quality editing, I tell friends all the time, actually I have a few friends in the industry doing this, to go to Fiverr. You know, if you're able to pick out, use Envato Elements, so Envato, Envato Elements, we use Storyblocks. Mm-hmm. I can actually pick out, we do this all the time, JT and I pick out, you know, I like the way this video looks, we can download some source files for it, and then we take the video that we have already shot, and then he does whatever kind of magical things, unicorn poop, whatever you do over there.
We're pulling back the curtain, not opening up the hood. I can't give away too much secrets.
And you put it in this template. So, you know, you can go to Fiverr and say, hey, I want to find a guy that can edit video, you know, with source files using, you know, my iPhone, whatever it is, ProRes, your files, whatever you have, and then give them an example of what you want to see, and they can help you to make that. So if you don't want to, if you can't afford someone to come in and film it for you and do all the editing, if you want to spend money in one place or the other, I would say get someone great to come film you and then find a person who can edit on the back end, because the editing, while it is an incredible skill set to have, and I watch AT do it and it's like mind-boggling, but I think people have the ability to edit far more often and do it well from remote areas than they can to fly to your practice and video you. Yep. So I think it's easier to find locally a great videographer, pay the money there, and then outsource your editing to someone else, because you can kind of pick your style, pick what you like. But yeah, I think from Fiverr, Envato Elements, Storyblocks, you can put together some Canva, some really great packages. If you're not at the point of doing a lot of production yet, you're just again at home, kind of, you know, making it on your own, trying to keep up with, you know, all the content things happening in the industry.
Definitely, definitely. And Fiverr is a wonderful service. It's a great way to put you into contact with people like me that have my kinds of skill set. I'll say, you know, much like any other industry, there's job specifics in your skill sets. The media production industry is no different. I'm kind of not an anomaly. I'm breaking the rules and I know it. I try to specialize in as many things as I can. Most people in the industry do not do that. Most people, if you're an editor, you're an editor. Mm-hmm. If you're a filmer, you're a filmer. If you're a DOP, which is just the director, you're that's usually what you do. Of course, now you may dabble in other things, but when it comes down to like the nitty gritty on the job, most of the time in media houses, there's job specification. This guy does this. This lady does that. This guy does this. There is, like I said, one-offs. I am a one-off. Not that I'm saying like I'm a total unicorn, but like most people are me, but split up and in a team. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes the projects, you know, call for teams. There's been times even we've turned down, you know, major deals where like, you know, yeah, we'd love to do that, but we don't, you know, we don't have the infrastructure personnel-wise. You know what I'm saying? But back to that though, Fiverr is a great place where the video editor you find on Fiverr does nothing but video editing all day.
We actually employ one. Yeah. Yes. So we actually hear AR. So JT does a lot of our live video editing because it's far more complex to deal with me, to deal with the talent around here. Mm-hmm. And we also do a lot of vendor videos. We do practice videos for other clients, you know, other practices. We do live injection stuff. You know, we're streaming conferences. We're doing a lot of production all the time. Oh, yeah. But we have a guy whose full-time job here. It's just to edit our training videos. I mean, he's outsourced. He lives, I don't even know, some country somewhere.
Doesn't matter.
But he learned the play. We gave him a template, like here's how they all should look, and then he just gets our content, puts it in the right template, and goes.
And that's an excellent service, especially for
low cost
clinics to do their Instagram videos, however they film them, whether it's iPhone or DSLR camera or cinema cameras or anything like that. That's an excellent service to have on call, and it's a great way of doing it. Is you come up with the Instagram, however you want your format to look on Instagram. You can, especially if you can provide them with a template, just like you said, they're dropping in your new content every week, whatever. I think that's a great place to say. By the way, consistency is key, and not just in like how often you do it, but how good it is or what it looks like. Even if you have all the best videos in the world and they all look different, it's like you said earlier, I don't know what I'm looking at. You know, is this the podcast or is this a informational video? Is this a commercial for your company? You know, I can't tell. So, you know, you definitely want to format things, and people on format or on Fiverr will even tell you, hey, you know, I noticed that you sent me all this new material. It looks very much like last week. Still, am I supposed to be putting this into that, or is this something new? They're very workable.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're
experts. Yeah, I think
great service.
I think to your point, like our podcast videos all look the same way. Our webinars look a different way. Mm-hmm. Our training videos look a different way. Like, you know, I think about as an adult learner consuming your content. I need it to look different. I want to know this is your training series. This is your customer facing series. Yep. This is your colleague, you know, knowledge transfer series. But I think, you know, to that same point about the money that it takes, when you come to the choice of make or buy, I think you've got to think about what you mentioned on having a team. So we bid work a lot here at AR against other companies. And can you find a person who's all inclusive, who can come out and do your audio, can do your filming, can do your editing, can do all the things soup to nuts for you? And can do that with like a daily rate of on-site filming. And if that costs us, I think maybe a couple $1,000s a day for on-site filming, plus all the editing and back-end stuff. But that, let's say a whole video production, you know, for three videos for us is $5,000. Mm-hmm. And they're a couple, you know, they're 20 minutes each.
Yeah.
A company like ours is going to have to pay the audio engineer, the production editor, the guy holding the boom mic, the guy holding the light.
That's why it's so expensive.
And it's $25,000. And it's just not necessary. And frankly, for me, as a person leading a team here at AR, I can't imagine having to have all those people's hands in the pot when you can find a person who can do all of it, or a company can do all of it, and it's kind of self-contained. Because I will tell you, having been doing this now for 3 years a lot, the more people who touch it, the more can go wrong.
Yes.
Because all the wires have to be hooked up correctly. Yep. And
chefs in the kitchen.
We call them Tinkerbells here. Don't tinker. Get out of the way, Tinkerbell. Nope. So I think the more you can downsize, you know, you don't need a Hollywood production team to come in and shoot your injection video. You just don't.
No.
Because there are a few key things you can do that make it really great. And you just need a person who can do all the pieces, soup to nuts. Because you want to be able to shoot 10 of them, not just one of them. And it's same price for 10 with a small house as it is for one with a big house.
Well, you know, there's several things to touch on there. The first one is y'all as primary injectors or providers or even clinic owners, do you really want to worry about your own video set? You know, I mean, even just taking somebody like you and how I can implement on your life, like if you had to do all the things that you do for AR on top of making sure that your camera's set up right or that the teleprompter's right or audio's right. It's just, I mean, at a certain point, it's just way too overwhelming. And that's another roadblock that I think people run into is like, I'm standing in front of a giant pile of crap and I've only got like a hand shovel. Well, you got to start digging somewhere. Yeah. But my point is you can't look at that entire pile and think like, I'm going to be the only person digging this pile the entire, you know, yeah. its entirety. Eventually you're going to have to evolve. You're going to have to grow. I don't care how killer your Instagram videos are, but if they don't change, they don't grow.
Or they don't move business.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, yeah. If they're very stagnant, I guess, then they're not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere, and then you're going to get to a point where you don't see any ROI, no return on it. Yeah. And that's a very upsetting thing, especially if you've gone through a budget. You know, anybody in this industry, it's one thing I've learned. Not that it's different from other industries, but in this industry, when people spend their money, they want something for it. We deal with that. I know y'all deal with that on the AR side or on the more of the tech side. People, what is it? Disputes. What I'm saying?
Disputes and things all the time.
And the only thing I'm trying to touch on there is, you know, Sally goes in, gets her injection, and then she doesn't see it yet. But she didn't read the fine print that says it takes 2 weeks to really fully kick in and form and stuff.
Someone's been listening to the recordings that we're doing as he's filming. Guy knows all about anatomy. He's filmed a few cadaver labs. He can tell you, I think he knows where the SMAS is at, or the deep fat planes at, all the things. Oh, yeah. He's done a few butt injection videos, all kinds of fun
Seen
stuff.
Some things for sure.
Which I want to touch on that, though. I will say this. I want to make sure I don't forget this. And I tell this story a lot. If you guys know me personally, you've heard this story. But I was with a company. I was with Galderma, with a company filming us at an injection retreat or injection session. And we're using a cannula for the first time. Which you've seen cannulas. It's like a Roto-Rooter, you guys know. Mm-hmm. And we are Roto-Rooting this poor patient's face. And, you know, just injecting like crazy. George Baxter Holder's the one on stage. And the patient's kind of uncomfortable and bleeding. And the cameraman goes like stone cold white, passes out cold. Bernice Cohen, who you know. Mm-hmm. Has to run over and catch this poor camera guy. He weighs maybe $125, soaking wet, and has to lay him down. George keeps on going like doesn't miss a beat. But the cameraman, the blood, the side of the blood, the what he thought was pain for the patient, it was too much for him. He passed out cold on set. Thank God we had a backup. He'd been the only guy there. We would just would have been screwed. So I think as you look at filming, if you're going to have live injections, get a crew who understands blood and understands the patient's going to be in discomfort, but maybe it's not as bad as it looks, you know, that there's just things around and angles. And like, if you have a bleeder, change the camera angle to something different. Like we are calling camera shots with live injections nonstop when you're injecting. So I think you don't think about that until the guy that you paid $2,000 for the day goes stone cold belly up and you're, you know, now you're a nurse or doctor again versus the talent.
And I think that discretion is, especially to your media team, whether it's one person or multiple people, is you definitely want to let them know what they're getting into. Yep. If they're not already asking, I would say if anybody's not asking, you know, maybe not a red flag, but definitely an orange flag is you know, make sure that they know what they're getting themselves into.
Well, and I had a guy on Fiverr, actually a couple years back, we were using him for Aesthetic Next 2 because we had to edit 180 videos like in 4 days. And we had butt injections with Kate Ray Raj, I think was the person doing it. Or she was doing something, Kai Bell. Anyway, a body part was shown, and he was like, I'm sorry, but I can't edit that. It's against my religion.
Yep,
he's like, I can't do it. And so if you're using a lot of international editors, be cautious of that. That, you know, oftentimes in countries where women have to have their hair covered and things, it's just they don't feel comfortable doing it, and they won't do it. So if you're depending on them, always ask up front. You know, I'm going to be doing a lot of anatomical type videos showing women, you know, whether it's breast, butt, whatever it is. Will you be able to edit that? And if the answer is no, fine. Just get somebody who can to augment your team.
Definitely.
But it definitely is a real thing that happens quite often.
Yeah. From the blood to the boobs, definitely let anybody know, you know, what they're getting themselves into. As I said, and we don't have to harp on it, if you're hiring a quote unquote professional and they're not asking these kinds of questions, you need to be weary of that. You know, that's where you make the designation in your pre-production meeting. Is this something that we're going to be able to handle with a light crew, LITE, or do we need to, you know, look at, you know, a more professional, you know, outsourced company to come in and do it? You know, some of the people that, you know, we know personally in this industry, they are capable of keeping it all in-house, whether it's their, you know, their MPs or, you know, even just some of their nurses or their front desk lady, whatever, you know, holding the camera, and they're just talented. They know what they're looking for and are able to do it. You're figuring out, can I do this here, or do I need to get, you know, professionals in?
I think one of the things we do here that is helpful, and if you guys were able to see our set, I have like a whole clothing rack full of dresses is, oh, yeah, you know, pick a day where you feel like you can devote time to filming. There's no patients in the office. There's, yep, no phones ringing. There's no outside noise. And in that case, hire that videographer to come in, the video person who, you know, you're willing to pay a couple thousand dollars for the day, mm-hmm, to shoot you for 8 hours, you know, back to back 5 minute videos, 10 minute videos, whatever it is that you can muster, change your outfit constantly. And then it looks like it's all fresh, different videos. But then you maximize the time on set with that, yes, videographer. Yep. And then you call the guy at Fiverr and say, hey, I'm going to send you over 15 videos.
Yep.
We edit them. Here's what I want them to look like. Yep. These are injections. These are whatever. But I think, again, spend money on the videographer part, because that's a skill set that you can't really outsource remotely. But bring different outfits. Like, we love it over here. We're changing clothes. We're doing different things. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and I think it's fun. It appears from the outside to be very sexy and very exciting.
Yeah.
But when you're doing it, sometimes I have a lot of curse words. It's very frustrating at times. But
it gets hectic doing that. But yes, that's a very efficient way of going about that. We're big proponents of that here. And it shows on the back end of your videos. You know, whenever you turn in, especially something, and when I say turn in, I mean like fully deliver to an audience, a consumer, you know, 10 hours of material, even 5 hours of material. If I saw you in the same shirt for 5 hours of material, one, like I'm trying to figure out how, I'm not even focused on the material anymore. I'm realizing, holy cow, this had to have been filmed over a couple of days. You've been wearing the same clothes. Like, that, you know, those kind of things show, especially once again in this industry where everything is detail oriented and aesthetic. I mean, you know, everything looks nice. Most people in this industry wouldn't go into a clinic that looks sketchy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shows on your material. You know, you could have the world's most beautiful clinic. If your videos look sketchy, it compromises the goal that you're trying to obtain. You know, you got to know what you're aiming to do, or just say that outright. You know, I don't know what I'm just trying to take shots here. And at that point, if you're paying for the crew, whether it's your own crew or somebody else's crew, nobody really cares. I mean, if you pay me my dues, I'll come hold that camera all day long. I don't care what you're saying, what you're trying to get out of this. At the end of the day, your media company is going to do what you hired them to do. Take full advantage of it. Try to get as much into one sitting as possible. Because especially anybody who's listening to this that's a business owner, y'all don't have the time to take what could be a 3 or 4 hour shoot, a one day, an afternoon of no bookings, and drag it on in, you know, over a week and try to match your schedule. Take a day, hire a company or a crew, and have them just come in. Y'all knock it all out, and then you get to go back, you know, about your business, and then either your, you know, whoever's overseeing the project handles it, or it goes on to the next part of the project, which would be your editor. It's so much more streamlined to do it that way. You know, I'm a big proponent of that here. Anytime I could get time of yours to sit you down in front of a camera to knock out what you got to do, I'll roll as long as you can sit here. And yes, let's do as many things. If you got to go do a quick, you know, wardrobe change, do it. But then you get right back in the saddle and get back to writing.
I think it gets easier to walk in stone cold and be on camera. It's a thing that you practice over time, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, learning to talk into the camera, like, it's, you know, like when I do this, I think that you guys are all watching me, like I'm talking to you. I think you get used to that part of it. But yeah, I'd say a couple things. If you have old content that you want to refurbish and make it look nicer, one cheap method I would say is, we do this a lot for companies too, is if you'll take, you know, an old video that you want to keep the content because it's good and you don't want to reshoot it, and put on the front of it like a logo reveal or a fun jingle coming into it with the name of the series on it, like put a bookend on it, put a front on it where you have some kind of an intro, and then put a back end on it with a call to action and go to the website, book now, whatever it is.
Closing of a logo reveal, just something to wrap up the video, exactly. Something that keeps it from fading directly to black.
And then you can take old content and make it look new again by just putting on a front and a back. And I think if you're doing YouTube videos, for sure, things like a thumbnail, you forget about your thumbnail. You can make a thumbnail in Canva. We do all of our thumbnails in Canva pretty easily. So think about getting Canva if you don't already have it. In Canva, you can actually do the logo reveal thing too. You can put your logo reveal on one slide, then the old video, then the logo in on the other slide. It makes it one nice video.
Yep.
I mean, Canva is incredible. And I think one thing to consider too, as you look at your content, is Instagram is the only format where you need a vertical video. Everything else is horizontal. So if you have to pick your poison, pick it for the rest of the world. Pick it a horizontal, because it can go on your website. It can go on YouTube. It can go on LinkedIn. It can go on Facebook. So if you have to say, I love Instagram so much, but you can only use it there. I mean, you can use it in other places, but the preference of content in other platforms is always a good horizontal, you know, regular video size format, 16 by 9, you know, video size. on Instagram, it's vertical.
It's so, the other way. You have 16 by 9 on normal. You have 9 by 16.
Exactly.
And I really don't mean to harp on it too much, but that back to your pre-production. You got to know, hey, am I shooting this just for Instagram? Or am I shooting this for other content that I may use on Instagram? Well, if you're shooting it that way, the later, then go ahead and film it the 16 by 9, the horizontal for most people. If it's going to be just for Instagram, don't shoot it horizontal. Shoot it vertical.
Yeah, and use your iPad or your iPhone.
Yeah, and that's actually one thing I've kind of seen a lot of people doing now with all the motorized gimbals is instead of mounting a camera, not that most people listening to this will be using motorized gimbals, but just showing you how in depth this goes into our industry, the media creation is most people now with the motorized gimbals put their DSLR instead of horizontal. They're actually mounting it on the other side, so it's a perfectly smooth video. It's got no abrupt movements. But it's already ratioed the right way. And there again, that video probably not going to be used in any extended format content, but it's perfect right off the camera, ready to go into any quick editor, if that, and then right on to an Instagram. There again, know what you're shooting for.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, if you're a Patreon person, which we know we love Injector Bunny, she has a big Patreon, Julie Beth Kaplan. If you're shooting those kinds of videos, you definitely want to go horizontal because that's a real video.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask people to pay for your content, so here's where it gets different, right? This is where it hits a little different, as they say. Mm-hmm. If I'm asking someone to pay for my content, to pay to watch it, it better be good. You cannot get by with the make or buy decision. You have got to buy.
Yes.
Unless you have an in-house person like a JT who's there to do it with you. But in that case, I'm still buying it. Right? I'm still paying him a salary. But if you're doing a Patreon channel, you're doing e-learnings where you're charging for content, you're doing, you know, a streamed event that people are paying a ticket to watch, you have to have it go well. We were just laughing about, you know, our AN 2.0, which was all virtual, was chaos. We were learning how to use OBS. We were trying to use great videos. We wanted to elevate the experience, and it became very problematic and very hard. But we knew people were paying for the content, so we wanted to deliver this great show. So I would say if you're using Patreon, hire a person to come in, like I mentioned, and shoot for you all day long. But I think part of that, too, with like a Patreon, is learning how to inject on camera. When I work for Gal Derman, my biggest thing I would teach people when they come on, you know, as a trainer, is learn to inject on camera, where to put your hands, learn to reach around the back of the chair, wear black gloves. Don't wear those god-awful, cheap, blue, flimsy ones. Like wear...
Or the uglier, like old, I was going to say the old tan ones that are like cream color that made your hands smell.
Buy the sexy black. For me, I think black gloves on camera is always best because the syringe shows up really, really well against your palm.
Even with darker complexions, that you'll find that black glove shows up a lot better. As opposed to like not to be this meticulous, but even opposed to like the purple glove, purple's a big problem for coloring.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when you're dealing with anything from white to black skin tones, that purple pops out really bad. Even that, like I said, even that black glove looks much better up against a darker complexion than any of the other colors.
Yeah. Definitely. I think, Dr. K's signature coral gloves look really nice too, but I think for live injections, you know, it's one of the things where if you're a great talent, but your model's not, you're still kind of hosed. I think having your model wear, you know, all black if they can, or all one color, putting some kind of a headband on them to keep the hair out of the frame.
Or at least dressing appropriately, meaning like, you know, pulling the hair back, you know, putting in a ponytail. Just saying there's more things that you could do other than just a headband, especially if you're injecting foreheads. You can't have, you know, a headband that close or something like that. But also picking models.
Yes,
picking models. I think something has to be said about that, and that's something I definitely learned in this position. Is that, you know, I don't care how great somebody is at getting injections, they may not be the best looking thing to put on camera. Don't go pick a gorgeous woman to do injections on. You took a water paintbrush to the Mona Lisa. I can't tell what you did there. You know what I'm saying?
I have a hard fast rule. I always say I want to take them from a 7 to a 10.
Yeah.
So think about this. I sound like Facebook, the original years of Mark Zuckerberg. You know, he's rating people's faces. I want you to be a 7. So I always say on my stage, you know, when I was at Gal Derman, even in Aesthetic Next, be a 7. So I want them to be moderately attractive, to be able to have no makeup on and not have severe skin conditions, like not have severe acne, rosacea, you know, craters, you know, acneic scars, make them look decent without makeup on. And they don't need to have any striking features. So if they have like an overly giant nose or big dramatic eyes or huge lips already, the audience becomes so transfixed on that particular feature that they can't see the whole face. Like they become like obsessed with the fact that.
We had something like that at AN2. And actually, I think it was Julie. I think I'd have to maybe go back and check our archives. But we had a model, a butt model, that had a good looking butt. And even Julie, like as soon as she like she was on stage, this is all permitted and everything. As soon as the lady pulls down her pants, Julie's like even made a joke to the audience, like, well, I can't do anything with this. You know what I mean? Like that's it, most people don't even think that much. Like even if that girl has been getting injections in her butt her entire life, she's the perfect model for somebody who's gone through it. She's good for before and after. She's not good to pull on stage because she's
already
she's
perfect.
I got a great butt. What am I going to do with this? And I'm you know, I'm the artist that is supposed to make great butts. You know what I'm saying? So
you have to have appreciable correction. Yeah. So if 3 to 4 syringes can't get it done, you don't have time to film 12 and a half or 15 cc's. You've got to have appreciable correction in a couple syringes, especially if you're filming it live. If you're streaming it live, you need to have 4 cc's take the model from a 7 to a 10. Yep. So if they are grandmother's, you know, old leather bag skin and same volume, you know, loss and depletion, no chance you're getting that done. Mm-hmm. Or if they're already gorgeous, whatever you're going to do is they're going to be like, well, she was already pretty. So what did you really do? Like that wasn't your skill set. Yeah. She's already gorgeous. So you create doubt on either side of it. Yeah. But I think learning to inject on camera, learning to talk while you inject is a big skill. Also things like if you're going to be a live injector on camera, having a monitor where you can see it. So if you have a cameraman on site with you, put a monitor to whatever side of the bed you're not on so you can see where you are and direct the cameraman to help you. So you can say to, you know, JT, hey, pull this shot entirely. Because we'll edit that part out. We'll cut it out, right, if we're doing editing. Well,
and that's still professional. Even though it's off-scripted or something like that, it's still professional. There's nothing wrong. Actually, in my eyes, especially as the cameraman, it makes me look like, oh, this doctor really knows what he's talking about. Because he saw that image and said, that's not what I'm trying to convey to my audience. I called you by name or I called you, hey, guy, come around here and get this better angle. Like I said, to me, that shows professionalism. And then the only way you're able to know that as the injector is to have that confidence monitor. Because you, especially on an instructor or a teaching seminar or something like that, you know what you're trying. If you're instructing, you know how that audience is supposed to see this. Whether it's going to be edited out or not. I mean, like, even like you're not making, I think there's a difference between like this, if I may real quick on a quick tangent, I think there's a difference between like the cinematic, your injection videos should not be cinematic. They should be informative. There's a different format, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, and so like, yeah, in the movie, you don't want to hear Brad Pitt say, you know, I moved that light. You don't want to see that on camera. But seeing a doctor say that, obviously you don't want anything ugly on camera. But if your doctor says, hey, you know, come, you know, your injector says, come around here, or you have to tell your cameraman, hey, come get it at this angle, that doesn't make or break a deal, because the goal is for the audience to see what is going on or hear or understand what is going on. That quick adjustment, that happens. You refer to AEs all the time. That's an AE in the technical world.
Yeah.
Yes, nobody's going to go blind over it. But if you've ever, especially in a live event, if you've ever cut off, you know, your audience's view to the material, especially like on the Jumbotron or something, they lose their mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like having those quick, you know, AEs, production AEs, they're going to happen. You say that all the time. If in this business, if you haven't had an AE, get ready because it's coming.
Yep.
It's the same thing in production, whether you're doing it yourself or you're hiring a multi-$1,000 company. Problems happen. AEs happen. You know, that's why it's called that. It's adverse. It's not planned on. But that being said, you need to be on point and ready to catch the cameraman as he falls or something like that. Like you got to at least be conscious of him, because if not, you're in for a rude awakening the first time or multiple times that things go wrong. You'll get very frustrated, and it could make or break a reputation, you know?
And I think, you know, looking at camera people who do this, learning how to shoot injections is also very hard. So if you're going to spend the money to get a videographer to come into your practice, ask them, to your point about pre-production, have they ever shot live injections or procedures of any sort? And make sure they know how to do that. They know how to kind of work around you and the patient, and, you know, having to take breaks if the patient gets lightheaded or, you know, a vasovagal event in the middle of the thing and the patient's, you know, wakes up, starts puking and whatever.
Yeah.
Can they handle all that? I think that's one thing about it. But I think the other part of it is if you're filming injections, especially for a Patreon channel, you can skip a lot of the things that aren't necessary. If you get a bleeder and you're holding a bleeder for 2 minutes, cut that out. No one cares. It's not important.
Yeah.
Or if you need to do one half of the face and that's all you want to do, don't go back and shoot the other half. Just get it done off camera. So I think there's things you can...
Off camera thing. That's a big play.
Yeah,
I was going to say that.
Great.
Especially if it's... Because sometimes you have that model that is perfect. Say it's like the loose skin around the neck, which obviously takes a lot of work to fill. But to your point, you got a 5-minute little slot that you can talk about as much as you possibly can about injecting this lady's neck. Do what you can. Fulfill your 5 minutes. Make it very supplemental. It's got all of the material that they need in it. And then tell that lady, you know what? You're going to go over there. You're going to sit off camera. We're going to finish that in a minute. We did that with Bernice Cohen for the Renuva stuff a long time ago, man. And because I think she was doing I'm going to mess that word up, but you know what I like to? It's called décolletage.
However you want to say it, yeah.
You know, I guess it depends on your nationality. But
or if you're a redneck like me or not.
Yeah.
And you.
Or a knucklehead like me. But anyways, no, that was something that we had, I think, only like a 20-minute allotted time for.
It was
live, not just recorded, but also being broadcasted live. And that's what Bernice said. She said, hey, you know, this is going to be an extensive thing. I'm going to do these few points real quick, and then we'll take care of Susie whenever she gets off camera, you know, later. Don't worry, she'll be fine.
And then show your after. So, yeah. You know, if you do that, then come back, take the patients after you've gone off stage, put that after on the video to say, here's a before and after. But I think, so great point. I want to mention this. Actually, I was working on some videos for Renuva the other day, is you can use words on screen. So to cut your content, you don't have to say, I'm using a 25-gauge cannula, 2.5 inches. I'm using this, this, and this. Here's how I numbed.
Simple.
That's why you
graphic.
Use Veed. If you have, you know, if you don't have a JT, use Veed and put that stuff on screen, like little pop-ups. Like, you know, this is the plane that I'm in. This is the cannula that I'm using. This is the brand I'm using. So you can do even have intros, like film the 30-second intros for all your videos, like in one fell swoop. Today I'm going to do, you know, jawline. Today I'm going to do whatever it is, glabella. And then you have your little snippets there. Put them on the front of your injection procedure so it already explains it all. You have to say that stuff again on camera.
Yep.
And then put your stuff on screen with words. And you can skip. You can take a 20, 30-minute injection video down to 3 minutes if you just use some words on screen.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think there's some ways to cheat. Yeah. And Canva can help do that, too. It's pretty helpful.
Definitely.
There.
And it doesn't always have to be, I mean, and I don't know, I'm kind of biting my tongue with earlier saying, like, everything is detail-oriented here. But simple can be elegant. You know what I'm saying? Simple words on a screen. It doesn't have to be action oriented. It doesn't have to pop up and explode on screen. Simple text coming up on there, especially like you said with the cannulas. Don't even harp on it. As soon as you're a camera guy, and these things come out naturally. It's not so planned as this, but you know, in the cuts, you know, whenever you go from your talking head down to your hand on the face. That's whenever you just say, you know, a small print in the bottom right hand corner. It says, you know, whatever, you know, a certain gauge cannula, you know, maybe what product is in there. If there's differences in the same product, meaning like, you know, whatever, the thickness, I don't know what your consistency measures or something.
The rheological properties.
Yeah, rheological properties. Yeah. If any of that's different, then there again, you put that in your that's more of a subtext to me. Not to be too nerdy, but like in our industry, we have a difference in graphics and lower. Like you don't call every text on a screen a lower third.
No.
That's you know a lower third's actually usually on the lower third. Most people don't realize it. Which maybe we should have touched on that earlier, and we don't have to harp on it too much now. But and this is not necessarily a pre-production planning. Capture what's right on the screen. A simple 5-minute YouTube before you go to bed will tell you the minimal things that you need for just like the basics of catching something on screen. Even this, if you were to look at this from our main cam here, we both sit on a third. We're sitting on a third right here.
We have a
grid. And then we're sitting
just like
on a third.
You guys look at the face and fifths and thirds, the middle third. We are on the outside fifths and the middle third. If you're thinking about a face map, it's the same as anatomy, you know, topography.
Yeah, exactly. Everything in production, at least from where I'm, the way I like to approach it is very congruent or equal on both sides. Most people in this industry want to make the left side of the face look like the right side of the face. It's the same thing with the video that you're capturing. You don't want somebody just slightly off centered.
Yeah.
Because
drives you crazy,
yeah, if you had one, you know, if you had a cheekbone that was slightly higher than the other, that person's not going to listen to a word you're saying because they're staring at your face the whole time. You know what I'm saying? So there again, maybe that's all that needs to be said. There is just know your orientation that you're going to ultimately use because that makes and breaks. That's the difference between you know something that looks professional and something that looks super amateur.
We'll have another hack. So this is like Easter eggs of hacks. So one thing, we did this with Rod Rourke actually not long ago for a webinar for a series. We took content we had filmed live for him in a webinar, took it back home and chopped it all up and to make this very long video. It was, I think, an hour-long video of doing a full-face correction into, like, temples, into jaw, mm-hmm. into little pieces. Mm-hmm. So we chop it all up into, you know, 3 to 5 minute sections. We go back to Rod, or Dr. Rorick, sorry, when you know me, I can call him Rod. Yeah, and we had personal. Him do voiceover. And so at that point, he watches videos before we showed up. We sit him down, put a mic in front of him like what we have right here, you know, even on your computer using your own like mic, external mic. Mm-hmm. And we had him do a voiceover of the procedure. So he took what he was, you know, babbling on about because it was live. He had to keep, you know, keep the audience engaged. He had to keep babbling on. Yeah. He took all that and cut that whole hour down into like little 5 minute sections. So if you're a person who is not comfortable on camera talking and injecting, which is very common, right? That's mm-hmm. why I always say have a moderator with you who can talk about the procedure. But if you're not good at doing both, go head down and inject. Do your 10-minute, 20-minute injection video. Get it done. Mm-hmm. Then come back, put your script together, and go on, you know, on your computer, wherever, your audio source, and record your VO. Then you can look at things like I use a thing called Audacity. So, like, just like the word, like Audacity, I can cut my own audio. So I did this a lot on Thursdays. I'll put together different quotes from a podcast into one audio string of a minute. But the Audacity system, I learned it a couple of years ago with the very first gain training, the very first train the trainer ever. I learned how to use it. It took me a couple of days to learn it, but it's really simple. So if you don't have a JT, you can cut your own audio. Audio is not hard to cut at all if you have good audio to start with.
Yep.
So if you have bad audio, you can't fix it. But it does have a thing to like clean the audio up, noise cancellation, some different things. But
Audacity has been, this is slightly off
forever topic. Around, but
it has. That was one of the very first DAWs, digital audio workstation. That's the programs that we use to record things. Audacity, first of all, that's a great place to start for anybody who, because there are people around this industry that are very much both, you know, they want to do the doctor stuff, but they want to do the media stuff. It's enticing. People like to do it, even. And, you know, our owner, Justin, and stuff like that, he dabbles in it, and it's a lot of fun. It's great fun. There's a way to regurgitate your material without cheapening it. You know, like you said, you know, record the same intro for all your videos, and then you're done. And then move into each video. Don't shoot your intro for this video, go film video one. Then go back and try basically the same intro for video two. Do it for the same one, and then, you know, then I guess maybe segment is the right thing. Yeah. Segment your production.
That's what I think that voiceover is so great because voiceover gives you, when you try to cut on screen video, your subject, so the me in this case for JT, has to be in the same spot mm-hmm. so I can cut and pick back up. Like you have to know how to freeze and kind of hold your stance if the teleprompter is taking too long.
Yeah.
And so it takes a person who A, understands how to be cut, like how to be the person on this side of the camera who knows what's happening, but also the editor to do it. Mm-hmm. When you use voiceover, all that goes out of the window. Like you don't need that. As long as the cuts look okay, mm-hmm. the audio doesn't matter anymore. So I think you can speed things up and slow them. Like if you're going to mix your sculpture on camera, I don't want to watch you shake and bake for 2 minutes. Like, I'm not interested in that. Like, go shake and bake for 2 seconds and let me know you're mixing it. I'll do VO of like, I shook the vial for 2 minutes or whatever mm-hmm. it is. I think the voiceover thing, and again, you can cut that on your own. In Canva, you can lay the track on it, or in Veed, you can lay the audio track over a video. Makes it super simple.
Oh, yeah.
But it's always nice as you do your voiceover to watch the video that you've recorded so that you can talk to it in the right time frame.
Most
so
definitely.
It will take you some practice. And try to write your script if you want to do that accordingly so that you match up the time domains and you're not like talking for an hour on a 5 minute video.
Yeah. And I think that that's a great place to even pull back that where there's a will, there's a way. Everything in this, that stands true to everything in this realm. You got to figure out a way to get it done. There's so many ways in media development that it's not cut and dry that you can get around things like that to the VO thing. You know, if you can't inject and talk, and you're working on a recorded project, knock out the injections, then go back and record. If you're worried about how you're going to, what we would call timestamp, but if you're worried about how you're going to sync the audio with that video, you know, clap at the beginning of it. And I know I just clapped right as I said that, but my point is that shows up both on the camera's audio and then on your mic audio. Whenever you go into your digital video workstation, you look for that clap on the waveforms, you sync them up. Even if your computer is unable to sync them for you, you look for that, and then from there, everything is lined up.
There's so much help on YouTube now. There's such great content.
Oh, my gosh. I should have a degree from YouTube. I think somebody on this season has already said that, but like they're like YouTube University. It's a real thing. I can't tell you how much of the things, the equipment that I use day-to-day that I learned on YouTube. I mean, like I said, that should be my second diploma on the wall.
Well, I think the other way to cover up, you know, mishaps is to have multiple camera angles. So we are right now looking at three camera angles. I have my own camera. JT has his own camera. We have a camera in the middle. And so if you can't figure out a choppy cut, the good thing is you go from camera angle one to camera angle two, yep, and you can cover that up. So if you're, yep, a person who is looking at this saying, you know, I'm going to be filming a lot of content, even in-house, I'm going to hire an editor, but I want to film my own content because I want to do it whenever I have time at 2 a.m., then you might look at getting like a DSLR camera as your, you know, primary angle, and then having your iPhone offset to the left or to the right, yeah, at like a 45-degree angle.
Definitely.
It's something to where it's just, you know, you want it offset enough where it's, you know, like the really sexy testimonials that we do, and you can see the side of their face, and they're talking, and the light's a little bit different. But I think having multiple camera angles, and if you're like, I can't invest, we have Blackmagic, we have really nice cameras here, I can't invest in that, then again, to your point, use an iPhone and an iPad. Like, yeah, you've got two great things in your pocket right there that can do great video.
You and your assistant have both the same phones. That's, yeah, that's one thing I will say is congruent there. Try to keep it, or is pivotal there, is try to keep all things the same. If especially with multiple angles. And this may be too much, but like, even you don't want Canons mixed with Sonys. They're two different picture profiles. You don't want an iPhone 13 and then an iPhone 11. You know, if use your resources. If they're around you, if you have the resources, try to stay the same. If, like, we both have iPhone 13s, they're going to produce a similar, you know, video look. You know,
the same microphone. We're both, yeah, using the same microphone.
Exactly. If I was sitting here with a, you know, a totally different, just an SM7B, or no, this isn't SM7B, but just an SM57. If I was sitting here with that and you had that, we would sound totally different. If in these settings right here, mm-hmm, if I were to change my settings different from yours, we're in the same atmosphere, they're going to look different.
I think that is important. People don't think about that, though, that we in the beginning didn't have all nice cameras that match. We had a mixture of the different, yeah, things. And so you would see this really different look on the cut, which puts pressure on the editor to try to figure out how to color grade or to correct the, mm-hmm, video so that they'll match. And, yep, so they spend all their time trying to figure that out. And you also, even as the person watching it, you lose some of the integrity of the video because you're like, wait a minute, they're in a whole different room now, but, yeah, it's the same room, just
looks
different.
Totally different.
We call it filming in B-Raw. You know, mm-hmm, if you're filming in a RAW versus having a LUT already put on the camera, like, there's, mm-hmm, all these things that are kind of techie. But, yeah, if you ever heard
log profiles,
yeah, you got log profiles. So, yeah, if you watch, I love Peter McKinnon. He's a great YouTube creator. There's lots of great YouTube creators who do video all day long that'll give you like the cheat sheets of how these things work. But yeah, I think you got to pick a family. It's one of those things where, just like you guys pick, you know, you pick Allergan or Galderma or Revance, you got to, yeah, pick a family.
It is very much the same. And that doesn't mean you
for
hate,
lenses, yeah, too, right? Yeah. For your lenses also.
I still believe in congruency. Like, we use all Sigma lenses, plug for Sigma. But there's still that similarity factor. And also, just because you pick one doesn't mean you like one over the other. Like, all of our cameras are Blackmagic. I'm a Canon guy. Justin, he's a Sony guy. I mean, like, one's not better than the other. It's just, does the model you own do everything you need?
Which I think is important right there. So if you have a DSLR camera, it can do pictures, it can do great photography, yep, and it can do video. Yep. So if you're going to buy a utility player, we have cinema cameras here, which you can still pull stills off of there because the resolution's so high. But, mm-hmm, for a person who's not going to be pulling stills off of their camera because that's not what they do, you can take your DSLR and you can go shoot your friend at their graduation today and go shoot your injections video tomorrow. Like, yeah, you can do all the things with,
yes,
it.
Yes. No, definitely. It's very versatile. I think any clinic that has a certain budget, I definitely think you need to at least consider some form of camera like that, not just for your media production because not everybody's in media production, but B&As. Even that shows, I mean, like, ARs, we have the draw tool and everything that you could do to highlight what you actually did in the procedure. If you took that, you know, you took all of Sally's first pictures with some kind of Android camera, and then, you know, you took all of the rest of them with an iPhone, well, she's always going to say, like, well, I just look so bad in that first photo, and you've
or
made
different backgrounds, yeah, different lighting, like, yes, B&As may, yes, be different, so consistent.
B&As, yeah, they really do. And just to touch on that really quick, get one set up. It needs to be a black background, preferably, mm-hmm, regardless of what your predominant skin tones are. Black background. You need to get at least a ring light because you can shoot through the ring light at your subject. If not, then you need two relatively good sized softboxes at a 45-degree angle. Get set up with before and afters. It obviously saves your end saves your ass on that end, but then it could also, the same tools that you use for your B&A, you'll use for your media creation.
And I recommend putting them in a chair because depending on the height of the injector, yep, or the MA taking the pictures, the picture is
downward
way different.
Angle, upward angle.
So put them in a chair where if I'm 5'1" or I'm 6'7", it doesn't matter because I'm taking the picture. The person's at the same angle for me. I'm not going to shoot up their nose or down, you know, down, mm-hmm, the top of their head. Yep. But crazily enough, we are way, we're past an hour.
We got a lot of information between the two of us.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you guys think about your practices, I'll put in a shameless plug here for Aesthetic Record and Aesthetic Next. We do this all the time for other companies and for practices. We shoot testimonials, we shoot commercials, we shoot live injections for them. We do, we're, again, a sort of a full house production group. Yep. For the smaller, you know, day-long shoots, we don't go do Hollywood cinema stuff, but we can certainly handle anything in a practice, live injections, cadaver labs, mm-hmm. you name it, we probably shot it before.
I like to put it, if you got the time and you got the budget, we'll at least give it a shot.
Yeah, we'll fly out to where you are, bring you here. We have in-house things we can do here, so if you have an interest in having us help you, or even just to consult with you on what you have in your practice, and if you have the right gear, the right equipment, let us know, shoot us a DM or, you know, on Instagram. Or
that was going to be the last thing I say is about all of this topic is, And this goes even pre-production meeting, is figure out what you want to do and then go for it. If it's going to be something small, try it in-house. If it's going to be something big and you are not capable, know your limits. Go hire people like us to do the big stuff and stick to the small stuff. It allows you to concentrate on that and it allows us to handle something for you professionally. So like I said, denominate what you want to do, and I wouldn't overaggress because you can always grow into things.
Yep. So just to recap on some of the things we mentioned, the systems that I've talked about, the cheat sheet systems, mm-hmm. we have Canva, which I'm sure you guys are all using Canva. Don't use the templates, build your own, just
yep.
FYI.
Yep.
It's Canva, Veed.io, Audacity is the audio thing I mentioned, Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R. That is an outsourcing tool for creatives, so you can hire creatives. We use a thing called frame.io to put all of our videos into it to go through and edit. And it's all time coded for your editor. So,
and it's also integrated into most programs.
Yeah. So if you're going to use an outside editor, for sure, use frame.io. We talked a little bit about OBS, which is a way for you to have cool things happening on screen and do like different, we call them skins. You can have
predominantly streaming software.
Yeah, but yeah. Two things on camera. You can have, it's just a very cool system. It's a little challenging to use, but it certainly can be done. We mentioned getting a teleprompter for sure. They have some cheapy options that you can use on your iPad or iPhone. They also have, like, we have a real teleprompter here. We talked about your cameras having, you know, a DSLR at minimum if you're going to do a lot of content. But you can also have an iPhone and an iPad if you're doing just normal Instagram or even smaller format videos.
Yeah.
Get some ring lights, get a light kit, get a fun backdrop of some sort. Look at your backdrop. Think about your sound in your environment, whether it's a rug on the floor, whether it's sound blankets. Kind of think through how you want that to work.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, hair, makeup, eyebrows, even for the men, eyelashes. Get some different outfits on that you can, you know, change in and out in your practice.
Yep.
And think about even tools like an Envato Elements or a Storyblocks or any of these things that have like these opening reveals that you could take and give to an editor and say, put my logo in here, make it look cool.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of think through that as well, of what you could do to spice up even of your existing content.
Yeah. Feel free to consult with us too.
Yeah.
Rather it's something super formal, we're both friendly folks. So as long as we're able to catch the email, send it over. If you just got a quick question, if you need some, you know, heavy duty consulting, that's something we offer. If you even need, you know, like an hour or so, you know, of one of ours time to hop on a Zoom call and just kind of, we're not going to give you anything intensive because we charge for those kind of things. But, you know, just a, hey, JT, I'm thinking about this list. What do you think? You may not like what I have to tell you, but I'm going to tell you what's real, and I'm going to say, hey, you're on the right track, or no. Maybe you should think about this kind of a package. So yeah, no, definitely feel free to reach out to us.
Well, thanks guys for listening to our full season 2. For the record, if you did not catch all the episodes, go back right now and listen to all of them. We had some incredible guests on this season.
Yes, we did.
Talking about all kinds of crazy things, from being an injector to an entrepreneur to social media to just all the things happening in our world. But we wanted to end it today with just how to be a production ninja within your own budget and your own practice. So
you've been saving me for this 20 episodes.
Oh, yeah. 40 episodes.
Oh, God.
40, yeah.
Well, 20 this season, but.
Yeah, 40 in total. But we'll see you guys back again for season 3 in a few months. But before that, hope to see you at Aesthetic Next 4.0 in Dallas, Texas, September 8th through the 11th. Come on over.
We get to have some fun this year.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun this year, a little bit different spin on things, and get your cowboy boots out and get ready. We're going to have a hoedown, a good time. So.
And anybody throws their girlfriend on the floor, y'all are getting in trouble.
Is that a country song?
Hoedown.
Oh, Lord. Well, we will see you guys all next time for season 3.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.